Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is a Macedonian call around the globe. Just coming to you right from Springboro, Ohio. I'm Sister Joanna Green, my husband, Evangelist Clint Green, and we welcome you here tonight. We've got many callers, and we will, as turn, we will get them to announce who they are and have them obey God. Praise the Lord. And I want to start out the broadcast, praise God. Okay, they're telling me the subject is the life is in the blood. So we're going to have Rachel come in. She's going to read her scripture, and she's making her way around the table now. So praise the Lord. Thank God for her.
Romans 5, verse 9 and 10. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life.
Praise God. Amen. So our subject tonight is the life is in the blood. And we want to start out tonight, too. We want to do, I want you all to pray. There, every nation, everywhere, just if you're out there listening, we need prayer in our family. My son's wife-to-be, her mother is missing, and they have not heard from her in over 24 hours now, and this is not like her to do this. And so please keep her in prayer. Just things going on, so we're kind of saddened here tonight, brokenhearted. Son is very brokenhearted, and so just keep them in prayer. And the lady's name that is missing is Laura Howard, so just keep her in prayer. Praise God. We're going to have 770 come in and tell us who you are and where you're located.
Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. This is Brother John in Thompson, Georgia.
Amen. Praise God, Brother John. Good to have you on here, and We will get you here, brother, here in just a moment. Praise God. 606-677, come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
Reverend Dwayne Van Hook in Somerset, Kentucky. Also got Brother Shannon Fife on here from Compton, Kentucky on three-way calling.
Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank the Lord for you all. Praise God. 661, come in and tell us who you are and where you're located.
This is Sister Gladys from Moorhead, Kentucky.
Praise God, Sister Gladys. Good to have you. Good to hear you, hear your voice, sis.
It's good to be back.
Amen. 770-855, come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
This is Robin Gresham from Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise God, Sister Robin, and good to hear your voice, too, and all of you that's called in. We sure appreciate you all. Couldn't do this two-hour program without you guys, so we just surely appreciate what the Lord has done. He sends help when we need help, and he sure has sent you all our way, so we just thank God for you. If you want to be part of the broadcast, we want you to call in at 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. Praise God. Maybe Brother Yearwood will call in here in just a bit also. So we thank the Lord that we know that he provides and makes a way for us. So, our subject tonight, again, is Life is in the Blood. Brother John, why don't you come in, brother, and obey the Lord?
Appreciate the opportunity. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak the word of the Lord. Amen. We appreciate all of you that have tuned in tonight to hear the word of the Lord. You know, one of the first scriptures we wanted to hear is out of the book of Luke, chapter 22. Again, the Spirit of the Lord began to deal with me. Amen. And we need to know tonight that flesh and blood doesn't really feel that the Lord is Christ. You know, the scripture teaches in Matthew chapter 16. Amen. It says, they declared and asked the who do men say that I am? Amen. And some said he was Jeremiah. Some said that he was John the Baptist. Amen. Rose up again and resurrected again. But it's pointed out the man wants to die and after that the judgment. Some said, but when they come to Peter, he asked him, he said, but whom do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Son of the Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. We know that by the Spirit there was a revelation, amen, that as men were saying he was this and that, that the Father was declaring that he is the Christ, that he is the anointed one. You know, there in Luke chapter 22, it began to talk about the preparation of the Passover. The Passover was instituted, amen, while the children of Israel were still in Egypt, still in their bondage, amen. And as they came, amen, there was brought about a deliverance, amen, of the plague of the death of the firstborn, amen. That each household, amen, had to would take a lamb, amen, without spot or blemish, amen. And each household and the children of Israel, what they would do at that time, amen, that each household would sacrifice a lamb, amen. You know, the scriptures teach us that by the law, that almost all things are purged by the blood. In Hebrews 9:22, it says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The blood, the shedding of blood, specifically the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb, we find tonight, amen, as they instituted, amen, this covenant, this Passover, this feast, amen, where it was instituted, amen, that our sins don't go in remission. It's just like chemotherapy is the cancer, or radiation is the cancer. The shedding of the blood of Christ, the blood of the Lamb, amen, amen, we find that without our sins will not go in remission, amen, but when the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, you know, the scripture teaches in Revelation, I believe it's chapter 12, talks about, and I believe it's verse 10, it talks about, he says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. Amen. So here's the realm of God. Here's the will of God. Here's the royal ruling and sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ.
For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb, the shed blood, the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says in, I believe it's in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, it talks about if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Though our sins be as red as crimson, they shall be as white as snow. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ is a spot remover. It removes the stain of sin tonight. You know, many of us are looking for things to have spots removed, but the only thing that will remove the sins of our life, amen, hallelujah, is the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ. He said, they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. In other words, their covenant, that new relationship, that new will that they have, and they love not their lives and their death. So here in Luke chapter 22, we find that he was looking for a place to eat the Passover. And there again, it was instituted while they were in their bondage, amen. And church tonight, while we're in our bondage, amen, as the children of Israel were in their bondage in Egypt, what represented, amen, amen, a release, amen, to be released back into the Lord Jesus Christ. That each household had to sacrifice a lamb without spot or blemish, and then they would take the blood of that lamb, of the blood of that sacrifice, because the Bible says, teaches us, amen, and I believe it's in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, that there's life in the blood, amen, it is the atonement, amen, and amen, and so we know tonight that as they came and each household sacrificed that lamb, and as they sacrificed that lamb for that household, the destroyer came to the land. Death actually came to the land. Amen. And it would bring about the death of the firstborn of every household. But when it got to the area of Goshen there where the children of Israel dwelt, every one of them were covered by the blood, amen, of the lamb of each household. And each household, amen, had a sacrificial lamb that they had took and applied the blood to the lintels of the door of their house. Amen. Tonight, church, we need to apply the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb, the only Lamb of God. Amen. One Lamb was given to this God of glory. Amen. As he gave his one Lamb back to us. Amen. He had one Lamb. He had one begotten Son that he came and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So they instituted what was called the Feast of the Passover. That Feast of the Passover meant that when the blood, when death came, amen, that when he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. In other words, death would pass over, amen. And what this blood would do, there's life in the blood, amen. When we have the blood of the Lamb applied to the doors of our life, when we have the blood of the Lamb of God, amen, applied to our very life itself, amen, the entranceway, our heart, amen, amen, that it brings life. And here, there, they were looking for a place of the Passover. He instructed them to go into the city and follow the man who had the pitcher of water and to make ready. And he said for a long time there was something different about this Passover because he would be very much a part of this Passover, amen, because this was the time that he would lay down his life. The Bible teaches us there in Luke chapter 22. He said, in verse 15, he says, and he said unto them, with desire I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He had declared in them that there would be a suffering. There would be a suffering of his own body. And he said, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. In other words, I will not eat of the Passover anymore after this Passover until there's a fulfillment in the kingdom, in the sovereignty of God coming into his kingdom. He says, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine, in other words, the offspring of the vine, until the kingdom of God shall come. We find, amen, that the scriptures teach us, amen, in John chapter 15, amen, he says that I am the true vine. When he's talking, amen, he said, my father is the husband. In John chapter 15, starting in verse 1, he says this, let me turn over there to it. Says, I am the true vine, and my father is the husbandman. Jesus said that I will not drink of the fruit of the vine, amen, until the kingdom of God come, amen, the rule, the royal realm, the royal the sovereignty of God is coming, amen, into that, and he's coming to that. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and it may bring forth more fruit. In other words, like I said already in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, talks about that we are all things, almost all things are purged, in other words, cleansed or pruned by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the sovereign blood, amen. And just like I said before, though our sins be as red as crimson, they shall be as white as snow. This is the type of things that we serve, that when the Lord Jesus Christ, the red blood of the Lamb of God, applies to the crimson of our stains of our sin, it turns it white with the righteousness, amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and it may bring forth more fruit. In other words, the fruit of the vine it's talking about is talking about, when it's talking about the blood, it's talking about the not only is in this scripture it's talking about the hyma. In other words, when it's talking about the blood, there it's the juice of the grape, or the blood of the grape, or the actual atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible says, now we are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So in other words, we are clean, amen, through the spoken word of God, the word of God that's spoken unto us. He said, abide in me, in verse 4, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except ye abide in me. So we're abiding in the true vine tonight. The true vine is Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible teaches this, I believe it's in Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, says, take unto us the foxes, the little foxes, for our vine has tender grapes. This is the true vine. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true vine. The only way that it can bear fruit, amen, is abiding or living or dwelling in that vine. The fruit, the blood of that of the fruit, amen, as the grapes are coming. The Bible says that our vine had tender grapes. It's the little sins. It's the little evil. In that time in Israel, the little foxes would come, you know, as he told Herod, he said, go tell that fox. These little foxes, amen, these little evils, these little sins are running, amen, in the vineyard where the vine is running. And as they do, what they would do is they would destroy these little foxes, these small foxes would eat the undergrowth, amen, underneath the tender grapes, the young ones, amen, and the destructive, amen. And what it would do is it would destroy the fruit of the vine. And see, this is what the enemy would do tonight, amen, that it would destroy the fruit of the vine so that offspring, so that the fruit cannot come forth. But if we live in that fruit and abide in that vine, amen, tonight, hallelujah, we can bear much fruit. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We can't bring forth the fruit. We can't bring forth the blood of the grape without the Lord Jesus Christ and abiding in that true vine, amen. We have to be in that true vine. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and his men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. In other words, we don't abide in the true vine, the true grapes, the tender grapes, the blood of the grape, the blood of the Lamb of the God, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only life in the one single bloodline, amen, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's eternal life. There's everlasting life in this bloodline tonight, amen, and but we have to live in that vine. He said, if a man abide not in me, for he's cast forth as a branch, and is withered, as men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. We are the disciples when we bear much fruit. The only way we can bear much fruit is abide in the vine. The Bible speaks of, amen, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, talks about the fruits of the Spirit, amen, being brought forth. So there is blood, amen, there's blood, there's life blood in every fruit of the Spirit, in the meekness, in the temperance, in the long-suffering. There's life blood in each one of these words of God. And just like it was talking about here in Luke chapter 22, I didn't finish it. It says verse 19, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament. It's the new covenant. It's the new will. This is the will of God. This is the last will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ in my blood which is shed for you. His blood was shed for you. It's in the cup. Tonight we are drinking, all of us are drinking from the same cup. We are having communion right now because the word of God is being spoken to us. We're being cleansed by the word of God and spoken. I'm not talking about man's word. I'm talking about the word of God being spoken unto us and given us. I have a cup, and I am a messenger tonight, and as we are breaking the bread of life, amen, as we are breaking that bread that comes down from heaven, and I'm going to give you a few more scriptures here, but I want you to know that tonight that there is one single cup that we are all drinking of. This is not a dirty cup. This is not a filthy cup. This is the cup of the Lord, amen, and it's sanctified. It's cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and I believe it's in Matthew 10:42, that we will know why, if we give even a cup of cold water in a disciple's name, we'll not lose our reward. Tonight, I'm giving you the cup of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the word, and in that cup is the lifeblood. Every scripture, not only that I give, but every speaker here tonight that is giving, every messenger tonight that is giving you, is giving you the lifeblood. There is the blood of the vine in every word that is broken. You have to understand, when he gives you the word of God, he said, I give you my body, which was broken for you. It was broken on the cross at Calvary. We understand, amen, that as it was broken on that, he said, before I suffer, the body of Christ was the bread of life. The scriptures teach us in John, I believe it's John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and I'm going to go to a couple other scriptures, but John chapter 6, he was talking about that he was the bread of life in John chapter 6, verse 48. Verse 49 said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which come down from heaven, which a man may eat thereof and not die. When you eat the bread of life, when you eat the bread of life tonight, the bread of life is the word of God that comes down from heaven. This is the word I'm speaking to you tonight is the bread of life. It will give you everlasting life. You can eat of this bread and live forever. Amen. This is manna from heaven. He said, verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, how do we eat of this bread? We receive it. When you receive the word of God and you do the word of God tonight, you're eating of this bread. You're taking it in within your body. The body was broken, but the bones were not broken. The structure of the body of Christ was not broken within itself. The bone was not broken, but the body was broken because we had to partake of the body. And the Bible says, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So he gives his flesh for the life of the world. And he said, the Jews thereof, verse 52, strove among them, saying, so how can this man give us flesh to eat? Now, we know in the book of Leviticus, amen, it talks about that it is forbidden to eat blood or drink blood, and it's also forbidden to, the cannibalism. And we're not talking about a natural realm. We're talking about as you intake the word of God tonight, which is the bread of life, it's broken for you. When God blessed it and he broke it, amen, he's breaking it and he's blessing it tonight. We're taking one cup tonight and one loaf of bread. It's the bread of life. And I don't know how many thousands of people are listening tonight, but God has already blessed this word. God has already blessed this cup. We are all drinking of that same cup. We are all having communion together, amen, out of the same cup, and we're drinking from that same bread of life tonight as it's being broken and it's given to us. We're eating of that same bread, and it will feed the multitudes as it fed the multitude of 5,000 one time, the multitude of 4,000. We can take this bread of life and feed as many as will receive it and will eat it. Thousands and thousands and thousands of this one loaf, amen, of life, and this one cup of the Lord tonight. And he said in verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. So except you the life of the blood. Now, this is the blood. There are those in their occultic practices that drink the blood of men. You cannot, amen, that's forbidden, and that's abomination. The natural drinking of blood is forbidden, amen, hallelujah. Now, I know that there are some get in there, and I'm not going to get into some of those things, but that is actually forbidden in the law of the Word of God, to drink blood. But taking in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can drink this blood, and it's life, and he said, wherefore, whoso eateth my flesh, verse 54, and drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I am him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, as he that eateth me even he shall live by me. When we eat, when we take in the Word of God, when we take in the blood of the Word of God here, this is the true vine. The Word of God is the true vine. And so you eat of the fruit, you eat of the blood of the grapes, this will give you life. The blood of the grape, amen, the fruit of the vine, as you eat of it, and it gives you life. It gives you strength, amen. It's representative of a new wine. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth the bread shall live forever. One more scripture, and then I'm going to give it back to Brother and Sister Green. But going back to, as the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he talked about the night that he was betrayed, amen. You have to understand something, amen. As he was betrayed on that night in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, and when he had given that thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Every time you eat the Word of God, every time you are partaking of the broken and blessed Word of God, you're doing it in remembrance. You're keeping the body of Christ alive. Every time you have communion, not talking about going to church and eating wafers or crackers or grape juice or wine. I'm talking about the true communion of God. As you break the Word of God, every time you open the Word of God and take it in, every time you drink it in, every time you eat, amen. This is communion, amen, with the Lord. He said, after the same manner, also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This is the new covenant. This is the new will. This is the lasting will of the Heavenly Father. It's in his blood, and it's only in his cup, church, and you must drink of the cup of the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink, you do in remembrance of me. We're doing it in remembrance as a memorial to the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. And as you do that, it's keeping the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ alive and eternal, amen, and in keeping you alive in him. He said, as I live, shall you live also. As he lives in you, he said, if I live in you, if I abide in you, you can ask whatsoever you will. He lives by in taking in the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, after the same manner, also he took the cup. I've already read that scripture, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, specifically the bread of life, church, specifically the cup of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other blood will do. No other blood of animals. There are those in occultic practices that sacrifice animals there. That blood will not do. That will not do. It's only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. You're doing a memorial, amen. It's a memorial. So every time you open the Word of God, every time you eat the Word of God, every time you study the Word of God, it's not just reading it, but studying it, ingesting it, eating it, drinking it, taking it in. Amen. He said, my blood is drink indeed. He said, verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, the bread of life, and drink this cup, the cup of the Lord, unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. It's not something that you do unworthily. It's not something you just take there, but the Bible says in verse 20, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. There's a self-examination that we must do. We must examine ourselves and know that we're coming of what we are. We must discern what we're doing here. We're taking on the bread of life. We're taking on the blood of life. There's life in the blood. It's not to be taken lightly. And the Bible said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, or judgment to himself, is what it's meaning there, not discerning the Lord's body. In other words, you're not judging the Lord's body. The Lord's body was given to you for life. You know, on that day, on that cross, you have to understand something. It was a day that crown, that thorns that he wore was my crown. It was your crown. It was thorn for us. That bruise is on his body. He was bruised for our iniquity. He was wounded for our transgression. In other words, it was our rebellion that caused the wounds in his body. It was our iniquity or guilt that caused the bruises. It was the day he wore my crown. I'll call it mine. I, mine. It was a crown of thorns. It was my cross. It was my crown. It was my iniquity. It was my transgressions. But I'm glad for the God that he come and he said, take, eat. When he knew that even though I would betray him, you would betray him, on the night that he was betrayed, even Judas, as he saw the Lamb of God, he said, I betrayed. He even went to the priest and he said, I betrayed the innocent blood. This man has done nothing. And what did they say? The high priest say? What did the church say? What is that to us? See thou to it. It was blood money. Amen. He was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, and that money had to go into the biofield of a settlement, the field of blood, the potter's field, where those would be made over again, where those that would not. God has made provision tonight, and God's made provision for you tonight to eat of this bread and drink of this blood, because there's life in the blood. There's life only in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other one will do. No other blood will do, but only the blood of the Lamb of God will do tonight. There's only life in the blood of the Lamb. And the Bible says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. In other words, because they didn't discern the Lord's body and discern the communion. They didn't know that it was communion. Many became weak. Many became sick. And as the Word of God says, sleep. In other words, this is another form of death. Death came upon them. Sickness came upon them. Weakness came upon them because they didn't discern that this was the Lord's body that they're taking in. Oh, church, tonight we need to know what we are drinking and what we're taking into our lives. And tonight you have an opportunity right now to receive the blood of the Lamb of God. You have the opportunity right now to receive that, because there's life in the blood tonight. If you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he'll give you not only life, but abundant life. And not only that life, but eternal life. It will carry you on to eternity tonight if you'll just receive this blood and take this communion. But tonight it's up to you. You can open up the body of Christ, the bread of life, and because tonight there's life in the blood, will you receive it? It's your opportunity right now. It's time for you to examine yourself. The feast of the Passover is set before you. Will you drink of that blood? Amen. Because if you don't, there's life in the blood tonight, church. And will you eat of the bread? Because tonight, the Lord's supper, the Lord's cup, and the Lord's bread is set before you. Will you take, rise, slay, and eat? Because what he has cleansed, call that not common or unworthy. Tonight, you have the opportunity right now to receive Jesus, because there's life in the blood. Go ahead, Brother and Sister Green.
Praise God. That's really good word, Brother John, and this is a really good subject tonight. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to find a place to pray and ask him into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and to be your God, your Lord and Savior. That's what he came for. He made himself lower than the angels to come down to die upon a rugged cross that you and I can be saved. He reconciled man back to God. Hallelujah. That there was broke in the Garden of Eden between man and God. And when they sin and they partake of the tree of knowledge, then the curse was put upon the land when God walked in the cool of the day in the garden, and he stopped walking with the Adam and Eve, and he put them out of the garden that they would till the ground by the sweat of their brow, and that Adam would and Eve would bear children, and she would all the things that women have to go through in childbearing. And so, you know, I'm going to get this other song here, and then I'm going to get Brother Van Hook to obey God and Brother Shannon. But I see here we have another caller, and I want them to come in and just let us know who you are and what's your name and where are you located. It's 940-473.
Hello, my name is Faith, and I'm from Texas.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Good to have you on here. And would you like to testify, or are you a preacher? Or?
No, not a preacher.
Okay. Would you like to testify? And we're glad to have you, sis.
I'm just glad that God saved me, and he has risen from the dead.
Yes, he has. Praise the Lord. And sure glad to have you on here. And I'm going to announce the phone number so that if anyone wants to call in, they sure can and be a part of the broadcast. It is 347-989-8862. Again, our subject tonight is on the life is in the blood. And we know who we're talking about. We're talking and we're speaking of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And so at this time, we're going to have this song, and we hope you enjoy it, hope it blesses you, and we'll have Brother Van Hook to come in right after this song. Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God. The blood will never lose its power. Hallelujah. So we're going to turn this over right now to Brother Van Hook and Brother Fife. Praise God.
All right. The life is in the blood. The title of the message tonight. Ain't nothing can cleanse us from our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. The precious Son of God. The precious Lord Jesus Christ, who came and bled and died upon the cross of Calvary, who gave his life for you and me, who gave his life for all of us, that if we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hebrews 9:22 speaks about without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ to wash our sins away. His blood is precious because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father except through and by him. He is the only way to God. You know, if there's a sinner or a backslider out today, you know, you can give your life to God or give your life back to God by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, by asking Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you your sins and to save you and take you back, sinner or backslider. Ask him to save you, sinner, and backslider, ask him back into your heart. But we got to mean it. If you really mean it, it happens. Bible tells us in Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the hope of mankind, is have their sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Romans 3:25 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. It's telling us right there that when we get saved and born again, when we receive Jesus Christ into our heart and receive salvation, praise God, that all of our past sins have been forgiven. It says the sins that are past. That's in Romans 3:25, talking about the sins that are past are forgiven. I know that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for our past, present, and future sins. But as far as an individual is concerned, our past sins are forgiven when we ask Jesus to save us. He had to do that for we could repent of our sins. Amen. Even after we got saved, that we could ask forgiveness. He was a propitiation. He's a mediator between both God and man. He's the only way to heaven, brothers and sisters. Men and women, boys and girls, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ has made a way that men and women, boys and girls, and all go to be with him, everyone that gives their life to him and ask him in their heart and really means it. You got to really mean it. You got to really be sorry for your sins and really mean it. Amen. And then walk in faith, praise God, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, think about this. Men, women, boys, and girls. This is made possible through the washing of our sins, cleansed of our sins. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. Washing our sins away, saving us, washing our sins away through his precious blood. Ephesians 1:7 tells us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption. The word redemption means brought back to God. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, mankind need to be brought back to God. And Jesus paid the supreme sacrifice. And he is the mediator and the intercessor between man and God. Jesus Christ is the great high priest of God. And he is the only way that we can be saved. It's through his blood. It's according to his riches in grace. 1 John 1:7 tells us, but if we walk in the light, this after we get saved, it tells us, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses us from all sin. Jesus didn't come to save us in our sins. He come to save us from our sins. But the Word of God tells us that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That advocate, that mediator between both God and man is Jesus Christ. All over the world, he died for everybody, man, woman, boys, and girls, that we might all have life and be able to be with him in the future up in heaven. Praise be to the name of the Lord, God of hosts. Glory to God. Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. Whether red, white, black, yellow, it don't make any difference, amen, brown or whatever, we're all the same in his eyes. He loves everybody the same. Glory to God, everyone who names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, he tells us to depart from iniquity, depart from sin. Glory be to the name of the Lord God of hosts. Give it all to Jesus today. Glory to God, and let him change your life, for surely he will. If you'll let him change your life, he'll come into your heart today, and he'll forgive you. I want to tell you tonight, sinner friend, backslider friend, those that ain't right with God, there's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shame. We must be ready. We better not leave this world in the wrong way, or we'll be eternally lost in the lake hell in the lake of fire. And we don't want to go down, praise God, and die and go to hell in the lake of fire. But we want to be right with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's the only way we can make peace with God, through Jesus Christ. Jesus loves you. I love you. And the true church, which is the saved people that are in Christ, they love you. I want to tell you, it's all about Jesus. It's all about the blood of Jesus Christ. The life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. The life, the spiritual life, the amen, is in the blood of Jesus Christ. The only thing that can wash our sins away. I'm going to turn it back over to the sister or brother.
Praise God. That's a good word, brother. Van Hook, Brother Shannon, go ahead and obey the Lord, brother. Y'all sounding
I'm
good.
I'm going to take my text from Colossians, chapter 1, verse 14. It is a promise. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now, there's certain things in this verse I want you to look at. It says, in whom. There's only one person that can redeem us back to God the Father. His name is Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So he said, in whom? Notice the next two words, we have. We have it now if we've been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, and made Jesus the Lord, the Savior, and Master of our life. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The only way that we can be redeemed, the word redeemed, as Brother Van Hook said, means to be bought back. He bought us back not with gold or silver, but he bought us with his own life on the cross of Calvary, with the precious blood of Jesus. That's what the word redemption means. He bought us with his blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The last part of that verse says this, even the forgiveness of sin. The only thing that can forgive us of our sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. A church cannot save us. A preacher cannot forgive us our sins. Church membership cannot get us to heaven. The only thing that can make us redeemed and forgiven is the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. It says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Talking about the blood of animals under the law of Moses. But Amen. There is a spotless, perfect Lamb of God. His name is Jesus. He is the Son of the living God. And his blood, he talks about in Hebrews 9:22, and without shedding of blood, the blood of Jesus is no remission. That means forgiveness. Without the blood of Jesus, we are hopelessly lost. We are in our sins without the blood of Jesus. We are on our way to hell without the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, there's some books out there that's really good that talks about the blood of Jesus. I want to recommend. One of them is by Billy Graham. It's called The Blood and the Glory. Another one is called The Blood by Benny Hinn. Another one is called The Bloodline of a Champion by Mark Hankin. And if you'll just get those three books and read about them, it will, well, let me recommend another. It's called The Scarlet Thread. It talks about the blood of Jesus. There's nothing I can think of any more precious than the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Beloved, we overcome Satan's kingdom by the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to learn to do spiritual warfare with the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to do this daily. We need to say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood covenant of Jesus over every single area of my life. When you get in your vehicle, beloved, you need to plead the blood of Jesus over that vehicle and plead the blood of Jesus over the highways that you travel. You need to plead the blood of Jesus over your family. Plead the blood of Jesus over your home. Plead the blood of Jesus over your health. Plead the blood of Jesus over your finances. But I want to talk to you a little bit about redemption. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, talking about Jesus, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Notice this about Jesus. He was despised and rejected of man. He did it for us. He took our punishment when it should, we was worthy to be put to death, but Jesus, he was our substitute. He took our place. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Maybe you're out there and you've been crying and you are in grief. Beloved, Jesus, he's acquainted with your suffering. He took it on the cross of Calvary. He took your grief, so you don't have to have grief, beloved. And the Bible, it says in Isaiah 53:4, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem in him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Jesus, he took your griefs. Why did he take it on the cross of Calvary? So you don't have to be in grief, beloved. He carried our sorrows. Beloved, it's not the will of God that you are in sorrow. Jesus, he took it on the cross of Calvary. Yet we did esteem in him stricken. Jesus was stricken. The Bible says smitten of God and afflicted. He was afflicted for us, beloved. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Notice that Jesus, he was bruised because of our iniquity. And the very chastisement, he took it for us. He took our beating at the whipping post for you and I. The chastisement of our peace. Beloved, you can have peace because he was chastised for us, beloved. On the cross of Calvary, we can have peace through his suffering, through his death, through his burial, through his bodily resurrection. And with his stripes, we are healed. But 1 Peter 2:24, the last part of that verse says, by his stripes ye were healed, beloved. Whether that is physical or whether that is emotional, Jesus wants you to be healed because he took it. He shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary. You want to know why Jesus wore a crown of thorns, why he shed his blood through the crown of thorns? If you remember Adam and Eve when they sinned in the garden, that God said thorns and thistles would grow up. In other words, it meant the curse, beloved. And Jesus wore those crown of thorns. He shed his blood that we might be redeemed from the curse of poverty. The Bible says that in Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? It is sickness. It is poverty. It is spiritual death. The reason that Jesus shed his blood through the crown of thorns that we may be redeemed from the curse of poverty. Why was it that he took those stripes? It's because that we could be healed. His body was laid open for our healing. Why was it that he was his hands and his feet was pierced and he shed his blood? It's so that what we touch, our hands could prosper. Why was his feet pierced, beloved? It's so everywhere we put our foot upon, it could be blessed, beloved. And the Bible says in Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Beloved, he could call upon many angels and God would deliver him. But beloved, he was willing to drink that bitter cup in the Garden of Gethsemane because of us, beloved, because he loved us. I like a verse in Ephesians 3:19. It says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, beloved, he loves us. While we were yet sinners, Christ, he died for us. Notice this. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to start loving you when you start doing good and start getting better. While we were sinners, beloved, Jesus had us on his mind. He shed his blood for us. He suffered for us on the cross of Calvary. He loves us 100% all the way, all the time, beloved. We don't have, he ain't going to stop loving us because we mess up. But, beloved, if we do mess up, we need to run to God and repent and not run from him, beloved. That's what happened to Judas when he betrayed Jesus. He could be forgiven, but he chose not to run to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, beloved. Another passage says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus never committed any sin. He was the spotless Lamb of God. Only Jesus could redeem us. Only Jesus could buy us back to God the Father from the hands of Satan, because we was in the family of Satan. But Jesus said, I will go and I will pay the price and I will buy them back with my own life, with my own precious blood. And the Bible says, for he has made him to be sin for us. Jesus was our sin sacrifice. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When we become born again, when Jesus was our Lord and Savior, and when we was washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, He made us righteous. We're not righteous because of our works, beloved, not by what we've done. We've been made righteous because of what Jesus done, because of His blood. Because of His blood, beloved, we are in right standing with God, and we are been made righteous as God the Father is. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26 says, "For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, has He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." Only Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary and His precious cleansing, purging, redeeming blood, all-powerful blood, can redeem us from our sin. Beloved, there's more power in one drop of the blood of Jesus Christ than all the legions of hell. Beloved, there's only one name that Satan obeys, and it's the name of Jesus. There's only one thing that overcomes Satan. It's the name of Jesus and the precious blood of Jesus Christ, beloved. Beloved, you can plead the blood of Jesus against Satan and all his demons and fallen angels and all of his kingdom, beloved, because there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus when you take the word of God and you say, "It is written," to Satan and demon. And when you resist the devil, beloved, he will flee from you. Another place in 1 Timothy 2:6 says, "Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Jesus Christ gave himself as a ransom for us. He redeemed us. He ransomed us. He bought us, beloved, with his own precious blood. I like Galatians 3:13. It says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law." Beloved, we was under the curse of the law. We was under the curse of Satan. But when we said yes to Jesus and no to Satan, beloved, and he washed us, he cleaned us up with his precious blood. In other words, he said, being made a curse for us. Jesus was made a curse for us on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, "For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Beloved, Jesus hung on a tree for the redemption of the whole world, beloved. Beloved, if you are lost, if you are backslidden, beloved, know that Jesus Christ loves you. He paid a price for you. He bought you with his own blood. He paid the price with his own life. He wore the crown of thorns. His beard was plucked for you. He was blindfolded, and he was smitten. He was spitten upon. He took the stripes for you, beloved. His hands was pierced. His feet was pierced. His side was pierced for you. He died on the cross of Calvary. And on the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead. And because of that, the tomb of Jesus is empty. And if you will call upon Jesus, the Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Bible says in John chapter 6, I believe it's verse 53 or 56, Jesus said this. He said, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Beloved, Jesus is in the saving business. Jesus will forgive you if you'll come to him. All you got to do is repent of your sin and invite Jesus Christ into your heart and in your life and believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And the Bible says, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And you confess Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior. I got one more verse and I'm closing. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17 says, "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah," that is the prophet Isaiah, "the prophet saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Beloved, when Jesus paid the price, he did more than just forgive us of our sin. The word atonement means to cover. That is the Old Testament term. But we are under the new covenant. We got a new covenant upon better promises. In other words, he did more than atone us. That means to cover. When the blood of Jesus washes away your sin, beloved, he removes your sins as far as the east is from the west, and he never remembers them ever again, beloved. Be washed in the blood of Jesus today. Accept Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior, because eternity is real, heaven is real, hell is real, and you will die someday, and you'll spend eternity somewhere. You've heard the gospel today. Accept Jesus. Well, I'm done, and I'm going to turn it back over to my brothers and sisters.
Praise God. I tell you, it's really been good preaching tonight on everybody that has spoke so far and that's going to speak. I know is going to do a fine job. And if you don't know Jesus, again, I'm going to invite you to pray. Praise God right now. And you can repeat this after me if you've never prayed before and you maybe don't know how to pray. And it's just a simple conversation with the Lord, just if you were talking to a friend or a loved one. Praise God. And say this, Lord, in the name of Jesus, because that's who we pray to, in the name of Jesus. Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me white as snow. And be my God. And I'll confess this with my mouth, that you are my Lord and Savior, in the name of Jesus. And to repent of your sins, I'm going to tell you this. It means to completely just turn around and go the other way. And not to do it anymore. And if you mess up, dust off your knees, get back up. You have an advocate with the Father, and you ask again to be forgiven. And just as Brother Shannon, Brother Van Hook, Brother John has told you, your sins are blotted out by the blood of Jesus. That was his whole purpose, to come down to this earth. Praise the Lord. So, I'm going to get this other song here and hope it blesses you. And then we're going to have Sister Gladys. She's going to come in and she's going to obey God. You want to be a part of this broadcast, we want you to call in 347-989-8862. Again, 347-989-8862. Praise God.
Yeah.
God. Hallelujah. So at this time, we're going to have Sister Gladys to come in, and she's going to obey the Lord for us and mainly for the Lord. Praise God, Sister Gladys.
Sister Joanna, I think Sister Robin called in before I did. If you wanted her to go ahead, it's fine.
No, she can go ahead. I'm fine.
Okay. I praise God, Sister Joanna, and I thank you for inviting me to be on the broadcast. It's good to be alive, and I thank him. You know, if it wasn't for the blood that was shed on Calvary, I couldn't even woke up this morning. I give him glory and honor and praise. I could never thank him enough for all he's done for me. You know, it was his choice, and I thank him for raising me up this morning and putting breath in my lungs and giving me the strength. You know, sometimes we struggle. It seems like when it's broadcast night, it seems like we do that more so. But I thank God that he's given me the strength to sit in this chair and to speak the words that God would have me to speak. And some of the brothers have already covered a few of my scriptures, but I want to continue to give God the glory. You know, when Jesus was on that cross, like some of the brothers have said, he was thinking about us before we ever were saved. So when we're not right with God and we're still out in the world and we're not fit for anything, he loved us enough to shed his blood for us. When he was on Calvary, he died for us. We were on his mind when he was on that cross. I want to start with Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Leviticus 17:14. For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. You know, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And it says in one of my commentaries that he said, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. God, as the sovereign author and proprietor of nature, reserved the blood to himself and allowed men only one use of it in the way of sacrifices. You know, I praise God that now we're under the plan of grace, and I thank God that we no longer have to take sacrifices to a temple or take it to a priest. I praise Jesus that he died on an old ugly cross just for me. You know, he is our supreme, the best sacrifice there ever could be. In Romans 5:9, it says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You know, we're going to soon come into a time when many people will struggle. But if we're right with God, we won't have to suffer the wrath of God. I truly believe that if we live right and walk uprightly before him, Sister Joanna, I believe with all my heart that if we're ready to leave this world when Jesus comes, I believe that when he comes to get his bride, I don't believe we'll have to go through all the wrath that some people will have to suffer. In Ephesians 1:7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. In Ephesians 1:8, it says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. You know, I've found that over the years that if we ask for wisdom and knowledge with understanding, you know, it doesn't do us very much good if we ask for wisdom and knowledge that don't have any understanding of what we've read. You know, whenever I preach the word of God, I want my lips to be anointed. In fact, I anoint my lips, and I ask God to bind my mind to the mind of Christ, because I want to be Christ-like when I walk each day that I live. I want people to see the Lord Jesus Christ. If they never remember my name, that's fine with me. I want them to see Jesus in me, in the way I talk, in the way I act, in the way I live, because it makes a difference. Like I've said before, we may be the only Bibles that people ever read. You know, many people have Bibles in their homes, but many of them are dust collectors sitting on a table. But there's coming the day, I truly believe this, that the American people won't have the opportunity to have a Bible in their home. You know, some people may know Corrie ten Boom. She had to hide her Bible. and somehow, some way, the Lord protected that Bible. You know, they did strip searches and made them take off all their clothes, but somehow, some way, she was able to hold on to her Bible. And I give God glory for that, because I know that that's where her strength came. We need to get into the Word of God, and we need to keep it in our heart to where when we need to remember it, they may beat us and they may try to wear us down. But if we have the Word of God, that will be our strength in the times of need and times of trouble. I know the Word of God, and the book of Psalms especially, has carried me through. When I've been sick, I know it's given me hope. Even David said that he had to encourage himself. So if you're running through a time in your life that you don't understand, and when you're going through sickness and you don't understand that, just remember that Jesus shed the blood on Calvary. And I want to read that one scripture that they've already read in Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You know, we owed a debt that we could not pay, and he paid a debt that he should not have had to pay. And I praise him for that. I believe that each and every drop he shed on Calvary, I believe, was for my healing and for any other need that I have. You know, he has promised that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And I believe, like the Word of God says, if you keep your mind upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he will give us peace. You know, he'll give us peace that surpasses all understanding. In 1 Peter 1:19, it says, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, when we get saved, he washes all of our sins away. You know, the enemy will come back and remind you of those sins, but you need to say, take it up with the Lord, because I no longer remember them. Jesus no longer remembers them, because sometimes people live in torment because the devil will try to keep continuously tormenting their mind with their past sins. Once we get saved, Jesus throws it as far away to the sea. He casts it away, far away from him. And I praise God for that. I'm kind of paraphrasing on that, but I know this much. Once you get saved and he sheds his precious blood that's without blemish and without spot, that's how we become. We become without spot or without blemish. And that's what Jesus is coming back for, a bride without spot or without blemish. And I believe this way, if you don't do it, you need to. Each and every one that hears my voice, when you lay down at night, be sure to pray and ask God for forgiveness of the day. Sometimes we mess up and we may do things that we don't mean to do. And ask God to help us with those things that we don't remember, and ask him to forgive us of all of our sins, any that we don't even remember, and help us to just live right according to his word. Redemption by the blood of a lamb recalls the annual Passover celebration by which Jewish people commemorated their redemption, freedom from slavery in Egypt through the blood of the Passover lamb. You know, they practiced this year after year, and sometimes people still do that are Jewish. I have Jewish friends, and right now I pray that you'll keep the Israelite people, the Jewish people that are over in Israel right now. They're being tormented every day and every hour with the rockets that they hear throughout the night. But I know and believe that even though they come so close, there's one that almost hit a gas station this morning. But I give God all glory that it didn't blow up or kill any people. I thank God that he's still in control and that he takes care of us in the midnight hour, and when we need to call out, he said he'd answer before we call, and I give God glory. You can't count on man or woman to do that for us, and I give him all glory. I have a few scriptures left, a couple. It says in 1 John 1:7, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. He'll take it all away. And he'll throw it out. He'll throw it completely away, never to be remembered anymore. In Matthew 26:28, it says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. You know, they were talking about eating the bread and taking the juice, and I do that sometimes. And that is for communion, And I do that in the remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise him because I know that it's healing of my body, and I know it works. If we continuously keep the Lord on our heart and we focus on the Lord and do what he wants us to do, I believe we can be lights in dark places. You know, I thank God for this broadcast along with Brother Yearwood, and I believe it's reaching far and wide, and I believe it's touching nations that would never hear the word of God. And I pray for those that are out in the other nations that are fearful to even carry a Bible. I pray for you tonight, and I thank God that you're listening. I praise God for this broadcast, Sister Joanna. I want to turn it back over to you, but I thank you once again for inviting me on the broadcast. I praise God for the broadcast that I'm allowed to be on.
Praise the Lord, Sister Gladys. That's really awesome. I know God's given you everything that you've said tonight, and somebody out there is listening to you. I had a somebody requested me to be friends just the other day from, I believe it was Pakistan, and of course I accepted. I believe they're friends with also Brother Van Hook, so I figured, you know, they must be Christians, so I didn't look at the page that well, but I know that it's reached in other countries. We know it has reached in North and South Korea and the Philippines and just all over the world, and you're talking to people that can't just serve God like we do. We're right in our living room right now and on our telephone and on our computer. And here it's almost 11:22 p.m. Eastern time. And we could be on this at 2 in the morning if we want to. Anytime that we want, we've got the freedom, praise God, to just be on the air. And you know, I don't take that for granted. And I just appreciate the Lord. And I'm just as humbled as you are, Sister Gladys, for this here broadcast. We never dreamed that it, never even knew it was even possible. But, you know, you can use your internet and your phone for the right reason. People come against television, but, you know, if you use it for the right reason, praise God. If you don't like what's on the television, you just click the button and turn it off or turn a channel. And,
amen.
And you know, praise God that we can just utilize the things that God has provided us with, and we know God did provide, and we can use it for his glory to try to reach the world. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So if you're listening there to Sister Gladys tonight, again, you need to find a place to pray. Praise God. And let him wash you white as snow. And all you have to do is ask. Praise God, like she said. Hallelujah. Sister Robin, you... praise God. You go right ahead, sis, and obey the Lord. This has really been good.
I want to thank you for the opportunity to be on here. I am really blessed by this broadcast, and I know it's blessing others that's out there. Everybody's got most of my scriptures, but I'm going to go in Hebrews 9, and I'm going to do this a little backwards. 9:19, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Now, over here in chapter 10, verse 4, it says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. And then over here in verse 11, still in Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify, purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
It was the blood of Jesus Christ that gave us life eternal. He gave his life and shed his blood in Calvary that we could be saved. And we, through his blood, can live in him and with him today in his kingdom. You know, it's time that we cry out for the blood. And we need to plead the blood over some things that is in our life. But I was just speaking of the old blood covenant and the new blood covenant. And I believe Jesus Christ is the new blood covenant, which we have through him. That one of these days, all these people out here that are not saved, they will bow their knees. Amen. And I just want to say right now, if you don't know Jesus Christ today, today is the day. The time is at hand. And we're not promised tomorrow. I get kind of tongue-tied when I talk. I am so sorry. But I just want to say I love the Lord tonight, and I'm praying for these people out here that don't know Jesus.
Amen.
Because there's a lot of lost people out there that doesn't know Jesus Christ, and we need to be praying for those people. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And I just want to thank God for his blood. That I can be a saved human being today. But I know when I leave this world, I know that I'm going to a better place than what we live in now. And it's through his blood that I can say that. And I just want to thank you and turn it back over to you, Sister Green.
Oh, no, sis, praise God, we're speaking to somebody tonight. Somebody's listening. And just that she's not crying tears of sorrow. She is crying tears of happiness. Because she knows where she's going to be, in a better place. And there, you know, we're going to spend eternity somewhere. When we leave this old body of the flesh, we're going to go somewhere. And, you know, you have a choice tonight to make it heaven or hell. And what would you choose? I choose heaven. Sister Robin chooses heaven. Praise God. Sister Gladys chooses heaven. Where will you choose to go tonight? If you were not to wake up in the morning, where would you go? Praise the Lord. And the only way you can make it to the Father is but through Jesus Christ. And you have to accept him as your Lord and Savior, that he would wash away all of your sins. He said he's coming back after a church without spot or blemish. Praise God. And you know, Jesus Christ, when he came, praise the Lord, he came to his own received him not. He went to the whole entire world that whosoever will, praise the Lord, believeth on him, they should not perish, praise God, but have everlasting life. And, you know, so it's to the entire world that you can be saved, and all you have to do is call upon the name of Jesus, praise God, and ask forgiveness of your sins. Hallelujah. He is the great high priest, praise the Lord. Like Sister Gladys was saying, we no longer have the priest to take the blood of the bulls and goats into the tabernacle and the place of Holy of Holies. Praise the Lord. Jesus fulfilled it all. He said it is finished on the cross. And the veil was rent from top to bottom. Praise the Lord that the priest did not have to go in once a year for the atonement of blood of goats and offer it for our sins. Praise the Lord. Because it couldn't wipe away our sin no way. That's why Jesus went into the place that set the captivity captive. He released them, and he took paradise into heaven. And graves burst open then, and those that were in the grave, they rose. Praise the Lord. The ones that followed the Lord, praise the Lord. And I just love the Lord. I'm going to come to you with this here song. We've got about a half hour left. And if you want to be part of this broadcast, if you want to pray, there's many left on the phone line tonight that will pray with you. Praise God. Just call in 347-989-8862. Again, 347-989-8862. And I'm going to be watching for you. I'm expecting you to call. And why don't you just call? Just pick up the phone and dial that number, 347-989-8862. Praise God. And we would love to talk to you and pray with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. God. Amen. Hallelujah. Love them songs. All right, we're going to turn this over to Brother Green, and I just want to thank the Lord. Strike of midnight, he gave me 48 years on this earth. Praise the Lord. And the only thing I regret is that I didn't start soon serving him any sooner than what I did at the age of 26. I was a backslider. And when I was 19, I had given my heart to the Lord and ended up backsliding, but he gave me another chance. God is about giving other chances. So if you're out there, you're backslid, and you hear this broadcast, or, you know, make that decision, praise the Lord, to serve him, and God will give you another chance. Praise the Lord. Trust me. He did me. And here's Brother Green.
Praise God. It's been good tonight. I thank the Lord for salvation and what he's done for me, and I thank God for the blood. I know it was the blood for me. I know that one day I was lost and I had no hope. And had not been for the blood of Jesus, I would still be in my sins today. And I'll tell you what, if you're saved tonight, you need to rejoice. You need to thank God, because we're living on the hallelujah side. We're living in a new country. We're camping in Canaan's happy land. You know, God spoke to Abraham and told Abraham to leave his kindred and leave his country that he was in, and he left the land of Ur, and he went into Canaan land. Praise God. He sojourned in that country, and he stayed there, and God told him he was going to give him the land of Canaan. And I'll tell you, one day Moses took the children of Israel up to the Red Sea. And, you know, Joshua, Moses couldn't enter in, but he went up on the mountain there, and he looked over in to Canaan land, and he saw that beautiful country. And I'll tell you, he saw it from afar off. He was up on a high place on a mountain, and he could see that beautiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they were going to enter into that place, and they was going to receive things that they didn't work for. And they was going to have wells that they didn't dig, and they was going to have houses that they hadn't built. And you know, Jesus went to prepare a place for us, and he said, if I go to prepare a place, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And if it were not so, I would have told you. He went. He told us he was going, and he was going to build us a city whose maker is God. Praise God. I saw in the scripture in Revelation, John, he was taken up on a high mountain, and he looked, and he seen the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. Praise God. And I tell you, we're going to a better land one of these days, a better country, you know. What makes that possible today is the blood of Jesus, how that he died on the cross, and he shed his blood for us, and he was wounded there, as some of them mentioned tonight, there in Isaiah 53rd chapter of Isaiah, how he took those stripes in his body, and he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we're healed. We can have healing tonight if we can only touch him by faith tonight. If we can touch him, the hem of his garment, is that the woman there with the issue of blood, she pressed through the crowd and she touched Jesus. I want to read something here tonight. I want to read something here in Ezekiel chapter 16. And I'll start here with the first verse. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say thus, and say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. He's talking about the origin, the nativity of Jerusalem. And you get on down here in the fourth verse. It says here, and as for thy nativity, And the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these, unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field, to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou was born. When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live.
Amen.
Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen. And I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Now, I was thinking about this here just a little while ago. I thought about this scripture. I was sitting there on the couch listening to the broadcast, and I got to thinking about how that was polluted in our own blood. You know, he's talking about Israel, how he found Israel, you know, and they were polluted in their own blood. You know, people today, the blood of a man or the blood of bulls and goats and turtle doves and all of these different animals and even people themselves, it's polluted. The blood is polluted. There's no saving power in the blood of any man except that one man that came down from heaven, and his name was Jesus. He was the only one that had the blood that could cleanse from sin. He was the only sacrifice that could ever take away sin. As someone said tonight over there in Hebrews, that it was impossible for the blood of bulls and of goats to take away sin. But, you know, we look back in the Old Testament, we see many examples how they shed the blood, even in the garden, you know. It talks about how that they were naked and they need the clothing. And I believe that God made the first sacrifice, and he covered Adam and Eve from their nakedness. And I'll tell you tonight, if we're not washed in the blood of Jesus, if we're not clean through the blood of the Lamb of God, the one that died on Calvary 2,000 years ago, if we have never come to the foot of the cross and knelt at that old rugged cross, and we've never had the blood of Jesus applied to our life, then I tell you, we're lost. If we're still seeking some kind of an animal, and we're killing a sheep or a goat or a turtle dove or something like that, and we're going out here and buying sacrifices, and we're trying to shed that blood to atone from sin, I can tell you tonight that it'll never take away sin. I can tell you tonight that there's only one that ever died that took away sin, and he said, I'll rise again. They crucified him, but the third day he rose from the dead and appeared unto many. And, you know, he came to them one day there when they were shut up from fear of the Jews. And he came into that place, and Luke, I believe it's Luke chapter 24, and I'm trying to get over there, in Luke chapter 24, and he appeared unto them. And I want to read this to you, and the Bible says here, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and frighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? I believe they were completely blown away. They was seeing a man that had risen from the dead, and they was looking at the nail prints in his hands and in his feet, and they thought they had seen a spirit. But he said, A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. But you notice he didn't say that he had any blood, because he had done shed the blood for the remission of sins on that cross. And I believe he shed all of his blood, praise God. When they pierced him in the side, the Bible said came forth out of his side water and blood. And I tell you, we're begotten by the blood tonight. We're begotten because Jesus had pity on us, and he looked down and he saw us polluted in our own blood. He saw that there was no remedy for sin. There was no way that anybody was going to be able to make heaven their home because of the fall of man had fallen in the garden and had a great fall, praise God. And you know, like they said, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put it back together again. And you know that old saying, praise God, how the man or somebody fell off of the wall. They tried to put him back together, but I tell you, God puts the pieces back together. I don't care what kind of fall you might have had. I don't know how far you've gone in sin and how far away you ran from God. I read in the Bible one day that there was a man God spoke to, and he said, Go down to Nineveh and preach what I bid thee to preach. He said, I ain't going. He didn't actually speak to him and say that, but his actions spoke louder than his words, because he cut and he run, and he was going the opposite way. Praise God. But you know, God got a hold on him, and I'm praying tonight, if you're running the opposite way tonight and you're listening to this broadcast, you need to say yes to Jesus. You need to turn around and start over. You need to repent and give your heart back to God. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I know Jesus. I know where he's at tonight. He's seated on the right hand of the Father, and the Bible says that he ever liveth to make intercession for you and I, praise God. And I thought about, you know, Paul was on that road to Damascus persecuting the Christian people, and he was a blaspheming, and he was trying to get him to compel him, you know, to say things against God and deny the faith. But I tell you, God saw that man that he could use him. He saw that that man would love him with all of his heart if he could just get the right message, if he could just find out that it was Jesus that died on that cross. And, you know, he appeared to him. And I know that the Lord is appearing to people around the world today, and most of the time he's going to appear through the preaching of the Word of God. And that's why he called the church to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. And this is the gospel that we're preaching tonight, praise God, that Jesus died on that cross to save you and I, to bring us back from the great fall that had happened there in the garden in the beginning of time. And they looked at themselves and they saw that they were naked. And they hid themselves amongst the trees of that garden. And God came into that garden, and he said, "Where art thou, Adam?" He was calling for Adam, and Adam had hid himself. And, you know, that's what Jonah did when he went down in the belly of that in that boat, and he hid. He thought he was going to hide from God, but you can't hide from God, I'll tell you. Praise God, because Jesus is a-watching you. Praise God. He's got his eye on you tonight. And if you're running from him, I want to tell you tonight, please quit running from God. Just turn around and say, "I surrender, Lord, and I'm going to give my life to you. You gave everything you had for me." You know, the Bible said there was no blood in him. Basically, it's what it's saying here in verse 39. He said, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And he went on to prove to them that he was really alive. And in verse 42, and they gave him, he had said to them, "Have you here any meat?" In verse 41, and they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. So he showed them that he was alive, that he was the same Jesus that they had walked with and talked with, they had watched him die on that cross, and he died there on that cross to fulfill all the Old Testament scriptures, praise God, that concerned his death on the cross and concerning the sacrifices that were being made there in the Old Testament. You know, we go back into the Old Testament and we get a picture of how that somebody died or some animal died there in the garden, and they was sewing fig leaves together to try to hide their nakedness because they saw that they were naked. But I'll tell you what, tonight you can't hide your nakedness. You can't hide it. Praise God. The only thing that's going to cover you sufficiently and cover your sin, I'll tell you, it's the blood of Jesus. And we must believe that Christ died for our sins. And we must confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead. You know, the Bible tells that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we know tonight that the Old Testament gives us a shadow, gives us, you know, different pictures and shadows and things that show us that Jesus is really real. It shows us that he was to come. And the Bible tells us that the Old Testament was a schoolmaster. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, and it was a teacher. And we're being taught by the Old Testament many things as we read it. And Jesus said, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." So he came, and he came to make a covenant with us. You know, he made a covenant with Israel. As I was reading over there in Ezekiel, I believe it's chapter 16, where he found them polluted in their own blood, and he made a covenant with them, and he clothed them, and he gave them everything they needed, and he watched over them, and he protected them, and he planted them a noble vine, the Bible said, and he wanted it to bring forth fruit, but you know, after a while, it didn't bring forth any fruit. It became polluted, and it became a wild vine, and it finally fought against him. Praise God! It was they were fighting against God. We don't want to fight against God today. And Jesus came to give us a new covenant, as Brother John had preached earlier tonight. How that the blood, he took the bread and the blood, and he broke the bread, and he said, "Eat the bread, for this is my body, which is broken for you." And in the same manner, he took the cup, and he I passed that cup around and said, this is the New Testament in my blood. Drank ye all of it. So we need the whole counsel of God. We need all of it. I was thinking about Abraham. You know, God called Abraham in the 12th chapter of Genesis. I want to read just a little bit of that. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. You know, God spoke to him and said, come out of that place, Abraham. You know, it was a wicked land that he was in, and God wanted to take him into the land of Canaan. And in verse 5 of chapter 12, in the last part of that verse, it says here, it says, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So God had spoken to Abraham and told him to get out of that place and to go into the land of Canaan. And I want you to know in verse 6 there, it says, and Abram passed through the land under the place of Shechem, under the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Praise God. In verse 6, it says, the Canaanite was then in the land. Well, the Canaanites, they were sinners. They were, they believed in false gods and all of these things, and it's kind of a picture of how the world is today. You know, some believe there is no God, and some believe something else is God, and they got all kind of different names for God. But Abraham had the true and the living God, and he had spoken to him to get away from thy kindred. He said there in verse 1, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And so the Bible said there that he went forth in verse 5 to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And then in verse 6 it says here, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said in verse 7, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. I want you to know he built an altar. You know, we go back into the Old Testament, we see how Abraham built altars. And you know, when he built an altar, he was going to sacrifice something on that altar. And we can see back there, way back there in the book of Genesis, that something was going to die on that altar, and there was going to be blood shed. And we see Abraham many times, he built altars. And there's no use of building an altar if you ain't going to put anything on it. But you see, Abraham was going to sacrifice. And the Bible said that the Canaanites was in the land. And that was the sinners looking on and watching Abraham. And no doubt they seen him building these altars. And no doubt they seen him sacrificing the way that he was supposed to sacrifice on these altars. And what he was doing way back there in the book of Genesis, he was portraying the death and the burial of Jesus Christ, how that he was going to die for our sins. Praise God. Well, we're running out of time. Praise God. I'm not sure how much time we got. But I'll tell you right now, we need to pray, church. We need to pray for all these requests that that people have called in, and we didn't mention a whole lot of it tonight. But there's people out there that's sick and afflicted. They need a touch from heaven. Let's go to the Lord right now. Heavenly Father, we come to you for all the souls out there, many that are lost and many that are sick and afflicted, and many Christians that have been in the battle, Father, and we're asking you, God, to move forward, Lord. We ask you to put hands around about your people, protect them, Lord, and send them forth, Father, your Spirit into their hearts, those that are calling on your name. Jesus. Lord, that are kneeling Aunt at Josephine. Their houses, different places tonight, and maybe in the hospital.
John,
we're lifting them up to you, Father.
Each
we're asking you, God, to
God,
move them. Asking you to move on our loved ones, Father, and on our neighbors and relations, Lord, and the people that surround about us, and those, Lord, that we don't know, but you are looking down and you're seeing them. We're asking you, God, to break the strongholds the enemy's got on the lives of people tonight. Heal them with cancer and diabetes and lung diseases, Father. Lord, them with incurable diseases, Father, we're asking you, God, to move and to do miracles. Mighty signs and wonders, Lord, and bring deliverance. In Jesus' name tonight. Praise God. Praise God. All right. I guess we're out of time. I'm not sure what time it really is. But I want to thank you all for coming on. Keep praying for this lady that's been missing. They don't know what's happened to her, but we know her, and her last name's Howard, and God knows who she is. And we just asked you to remember her and just keep praying for souls out there. Thank you for coming on tonight. God bless y'all.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Green.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. God bless you.
Good night.
Amen.